This morning, I'm talking about the principle of cooperation. In the Agni Yoga books, there are 744 occurrences that reference cooperation. Did you know that? Of course not. 744. The principles of cooperation are so important. A book was written by Torquem Seredarian on this subject. Torquem wrote, "Cooperation is a great discipline because in the process of cooperation, we surpass our self-seeking ways, our self-interests, and our ego. And we try to recognize the interests of the group and others as a whole. The principles of cooperation," he said, "underlies all existence and pushes everything toward right and harmonious relationships." So this is what I found in studying the teachings and reading through the 744 verses in Agni Yoga on cooperation, that basically cooperation is a process that enables us to build right human relations. So throughout the whole theme of understanding the various aspects and approaches to the practice of cooperation, the underlying purpose seems to be to guide us toward building right human relations. So I'm suggesting that we choose the keynote of cooperation for the rest of this year, 2022. We can write articles on the subject and try to find the many instances in which we see the principle of cooperation operating, for example, in nature, in your relationship life, even your relationship with the country that you live in or with other countries. If you're working with groups from other countries, what is your relationship with them? And then we could even expand that process of observation. Do we even have a relationship with the cosmic magnet or with hierarchy? So we can ask ourselves, why would I want to do this? Well, I would say, why not? I wish that when public school systems would give time to their children to teach them right human relations, whether it is public school or private school, or even junior college or high or college itself. Once people learned how to communicate with one another, how to cooperate with one another, and thus build right human relations, imagine the difference our family life would be. Imagine the difference our relationship with those in the group would be. If from the very beginning of school, or earlier, if our parents are astute enough and knowledgeable enough to teach us how to communicate correctly with one another, what a difference it would make. How could this practice make a difference in my life? You can make mental and written notes about not only the occurrences where you experience how cooperation is increasing harmonious relationships in your life, but how in its absence, disintegration and destruction occurs. So I suggested using the keynote of cooperation for the rest of the year. So what is the term keynote. What does a keynote mean? Basically, it means a principal theme. For example, a symphonic piece of music has a particular musical note which seems to reflect the keynote or theme, the emotion of the music. For example, the most famous movement from the Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, was originally composed in D major. Music written in a major key is normally happy and upbeat. But other sections of the Messiah are remembered in a more minor key. Because why? The sufferings of Christ. When a country is in a war, many of the classical music composers will write their music in a minor key. So let us agree to the principle of cooperation as a central theme for our meditative thoughts and actions for the rest of this year, with the purpose being to help build right human relations in your life. Then observe this principle working or not working in your family life and in your group life. Cooperation is an inherent part of one's spiritual life. It's almost like being hardwired. Master M tells us, "He who comprehends the discipline of spirit will understand the direction of the fire and will approach the cooperation for the general good." In other words, the principle of cooperation, when practiced as the discipline of the soul, I find this so interesting. When we practice this as a discipline of the soul, it will direct us toward the general good of all. The Master also teaches the striving towards a true cooperation lies at the foundation of evolution. For example, if we want our group to advance, we must practice the spirit of cooperation with one another. If we want our country to advance, we must cooperate with other countries. It must practice right and harmonious human relations. Cooperation is an undercurrent which leads all forms of life to operate cooperatively, to manifest potentialities within mankind and in nature. So what does cooperation lead to or toward? It leads toward integration. So that's an important point. So people, you know, think about cooperation in general. They think about cooperation is means we no longer are independent, that we must adhere to the dictates of another person or of a group or a nation or some kind of leader, that we're going to lose our freedom of expression, freedom of creativity, freedom of doing this or that. I think I would say to that, is it working for you? Is that attitude, did it work for you and your family? Not obeying your mom and dad, did that work for you? Not caring for your children because you're free and don't need to follow the wishes of your children or grandchildren or aunt or uncle or, you know, if you're in a group life, the leadership of the group, is that working for you? The only way, if you're going to be honest, the only way you can tell is your how you interact with one another. Is there a love between you and the other, you and the others? Is there a respect between you and the other, or you and the others. Not unless you are practicing cooperation. Cooperation leads to integration. It leads to groupings. It leads in such a way that we begin to align ourselves. Literally, this happens. We align ourselves with higher energy and guidance. It eventually makes people, groups, nations, and humanity, cooperation does, makes them transcend themselves. In cooperation, three or more people operate or work together. See, you can't cooperate if you're not with other people. If you are isolated, right? It's like, yeah, I really believe in cooperation and the principle of cooperation. It's so easy. Well, how many people do you interact with on one, not computer to computer, but physically do you interact with every day? How many people? None? Sure, then cooperation is easy. But the teaching says three, in cooperation, three or more people operate or work together. If they cooperate and work together, they are working together toward a goal upon which they have agreed. Cooperation, then, is the foundation of your health, happiness, success, survival. Imagine cooperation is part of the foundation of survival and achievement on various levels. So if you want to have contact with your inner guidance, if you want to have contact with this, your higher self, your transcendental self, if you want contact with the Master, if you want to be part of the heart of the Master, you must have cooperation. In the way that I'm talking about it this morning, cooperation must not only be progressive but inclusive. It must include larger and larger groups striving for the same basic goal. So this is not easy, particularly when the other group is from another nation and they speak a different language and you're all trying to find the common language through which you can work together toward that common goal. You come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different language. How are you going to cooperate? Only if there is the same basic goal. Now you have something to cooperate with. Such group cooperation was evident the first time I visited the Rorick Museum in New York City. As I walked through the museum entrance, I was greeted with a big bear hug from Aida, who was a key staff person at the time at the museum. Then I was greeted by Daniel Anton, who at the time was the director of the Nicholas Rorick Museum. Daniel had, as you can imagine, huge responsibilities with that position, which included knowing and recognizing individuals and groups all over the world. But even so, despite his responsible schedule, he gave 3 whole days of his time to me, as did others who worked at the museum. Both Daniel and Aida were instrumental in refining the translation of the book At the Threshold of the New World, which is a book White Mountain published a few years ago. Since that first experience at the Rorick Museum, I continue to see they've had changes. Daniel has passed. Aida isn't in the museum any longer. We have a new president and director, Vito Trepsa, and other people working on staff. and it is even improving. That experience of cooperation is improving. I continue to see and experience the practice of cooperation there. The Master M taught, I wish to see cooperation. This is really, really important. He is saying, I don't want to see cooperation on paper. He says, I don't want to see cooperation in assurances, but in action. And he elaborates on this through those 744 references to cooperation about the necessity of cooperation in action. He says, it is right not to speak about love, but to show it in action. He says, it is correct to abolish assurances of devotion, for it is manifested in action. It is correct not to utter superfluous words, he says, as they are needed in action. While I was at the museum, I met with some men and women who gathered together in a Tuesday night class to discuss the Agni teaching. In this case, we were discussing ineffable justice. Each person was so very warm and beautiful and friendly toward us. Even the president of the museum treated us as one of them. In other words, there was a cooperation of hearts that surpassed any cultural, language, and nationality difference. In cooperation, it is not the individual who is glorified, but the group. In every cooperative labor, there exists a leader who attracts the co-workers by the magnet of a plan. As the work proceeds, they turn into a source of inspiration and courage. Eventually, when the goal is achieved, they try to raise the labor of cooperation onto an even higher level, where more sacrificial and more focused labor is needed. So you can see, just in this little bit of time we've spent talking about cooperation, it has nothing to do with I have to be independent, and so therefore I need not cooperate. You may have a goal and a plan, but I need not cooperate with that goal and plan. And it goes on infinitum. You know, from the family to the group to the country and internationally. So what did cooperation do? First of all, it saves time, energy, money, and matter. Okay, it guarantees success. I mean, I would write this down on a little 3x5 or 5x7 card and write this list down to remind me of the importance and power and value of cooperation. And the way it helps me, if I would do that, and I have, now I have pretty much have that list in my head, I take all of these ideas and look at them as musical notes. And how can I put these musical notes together in a composition? And that composition would be a goal or a plan. So I take all these ideas of cooperation as notes of a symphonic group of people working as instruments for the master, instruments of hierarchy. And that if we can work together through cooperation, it will save time, energy, money, and matter and guarantee our success. Cooperation puts into action what? The potential found in a group. When you see a group that's not progressing, that's not advancing, that seems not to have goals and plans and putting them into manifestation, look to see if it's because cooperation among the members is lacking. Cooperation puts into action the potential found in the group. Now, this can be, you say, I'm not part of a group. Well, if you're part of a family, you're part of a group. If you're part of a community, you're part of a group. If you are participating in your family, if you are participating in your community, your participation can activate, initiate potential of the integration and alignment and cooperative nature of that group. This is an interesting one. Cooperation teaches the science of adaptation. See, and that's where people say, no, don't talk to me about cooperation. You can cooperate with me, but I'm not going to adapt. Then you're not cooperating. When you're not cooperating, what are you doing? You are shutting the door to your further potential. You're shutting the door to success. You're shutting the door to energy and money. If you cannot practice the science of adaptation. So if adaptation is a science, learn the science. Go with it and go against it and see which works best for you. Cooperation makes each person progress and surpass their personality problems and attachments. It makes them grow into spiritual maturity and achieve a certain degree of victory over their lower nature. Now, this is important. In cooperation, there should be no pressure. This is not do as I say. This is not, as long as you live in my house, you live by my rules. See, that's not cooperation. In cooperation, there is no pressure. No one must be forced by anyone to do his or her task. If their heart is not aligned with the task, then let them go. Let them be. Cooperation rests on freedom. Co-workers must come together not by pressure of any kind, but by their urge of their hearts. Some people's hearts are closed. The petals of their heart are closed. Such people will resist and react to any pressure. Leave them alone. Co-workers must come together by the urge of their hearts and by the awareness of the need. Any display of force by any co-worker makes a spirit of cooperation impossible and creates resistance, cleavages, and other problems. So how do people force others? There is a saying that I recently heard on the TV program West Wing. Remember that? I'm watching this again. The president in the TV movie, his name was Jed Bartlett. He was telling his staff, "Don't handle me." It really caught my attention. It was a big deal that was going on. He was collecting his new staffers and they were getting ready to run. He was getting ready to run for president and they were going to, you know, work together with him. And one of them was trying to handle him. So he stopped it and he said, "Don't handle me." So this really caught my attention and I wanted to know more about it. And this is what I learned. When someone is trying to handle you, to force themselves on you, either overtly or covertly, they are really trying to control you or others. How? Through subtle manipulation. through coercion or even through intimidation. Someone who is controlling wants to control people. Controlling people want to control people. They want to handle the person. They want to control people close to them, such as their boss, their teacher, their partner, or even family members. If cooperation is carried on for personality advantages, for selfish interests, or to please certain people, it's going to fail. Progress, success, health, happiness, and great achievements, these are the results of cooperation. When a few people cooperate, there is success, there is prosperity, there is protection and stability. If a few groups cooperate, there is greater success. If nations cooperate, there is yet greater success and prosperity. But they need to learn one lesson. They need to learn renunciation of their selfish interests in the interest of the whole of humanity. If you bring a few people together and observe the quality of their cooperation, you're going to find that those who have good cooperation within their own nature also have good cooperation with their associates, their friends, their co-workers, their colleagues. So this tells us that before we cooperate with others, we must have an inner cooperation. The inner process of cooperation includes integration between our three bodies, our physical, emotional, mental bodies. If a person on your staff is unable to cooperate with you, the boss, and the rest of the staff, then you know that person is not yet integrated. If there is a family member who is always causing trouble for the rest of the family, you know that that family member is not yet integrated, has not integrated all parts of their personality life. For a group or a family to stay together, all parts of the group must be integrated and physically, emotionally, and mentally healthy. See, this is why I like to use the example of a symphonic orchestra. The musicians playing together, all playing different instruments, all playing different notes, but there's such a cooperative heartbeat among the, let's say, 103 musicians with the conductor. They produce beautiful, beautiful music. Each one of the musicians, let's say they're powerful, they're talented, they're professional, they're knowledgeable, but they don't single themselves apart from the rest of the integrated orchestra. See, they're playing beautiful music that is conducted by a conductor, and the music that has been written by a master composer. For a group or a family, I'm repeating myself, for a group or a family to stay together, all parts of the group must be integrated. A person who is cooperative with others is one who has a synthesis of his or her actions, feelings, thoughts, their ideas and goals, and their purpose in life. In the WMEA, that's White Mountain Education Association, and it's not WMEA, it's WMEA. That's a group joke. We hear people call us WMEA. I said, what is that? Trying to shorten WMEA, right? No, it's WMEA. Anyway, in the WMEA office, committees and classes, if there is a person who is not yet integrated, Such a person will cause problems and at times cause interferences with the achievement or schedule of group goals, tasks, and so forth. Such people cause problems for the leader of the group, forcing the leader to circumvent the problems in various ways. Of course, one will not expect to have the cooperation of the enemies of mankind, but the final victory belongs to those who really formulate goals that are for the whole human welfare. When the personality, the human soul, and the transpersonal self cooperate, it says personality, human self, soul, and transpersonal self cooperate, progressive, balanced cooperation is then created. Cooperation between people and groups must follow the same procedure. There must be three or more in order to create cooperation. So what does this mean for your group? It takes ages to bring together the personality and the transpersonal self. After the contact, for ages, the personality is fanatic, or the human being lives a spaced life. Until the third factor emerges, there will be no equilibrium. The third factor is the human soul, which takes birth within the cooperation of the personality and the transpersonal self. Cooperation is renouncing your self-interest and working for the interests of all who are laboring for that cooperation. See, and that's where the pig in the poke takes place, where that one person has so much resistance, so much ego, so much self-interest, that now they become a sour note. And that sour note is, it's so painful if you have a good musical ear, if you hear a sour note, you can't hear the rest of the music, the beautiful music being played. All you can hear or recognize is that sour note. The sour note is the person's self-interest. So cooperation is renouncing your self-interest and working for the interests of all. This takes spiritual maturity to do. Discipline is related to getting rid of the ego, which seeks only their own interest at the expense of the interests of others. By working in a cooperative spirit, we eventually ask ourselves, what are those things in me which are creating obstacles for cooperation? Am I lacking knowledge? Do I lack some skill? Do I have a lack of interest? This is the process of cooperation. How to be successful in the most truest sense of the word. Your personality must cooperate with your soul. The human soul must cooperate with the higher self. When this cooperation is achieved within you, you are naturally a cooperative person. This is science, this is fact. I sometimes see this in certain young ones who will immediately ask to help with something. This morning I was listening to Fareed Zakaria, and he was interviewing some children in the Ukraine. Find that on YouTube. I'm sure he's on YouTube somewhere. You will be so inspired at the maturity of these young people. They're not about themselves, they're about their family and about their country. They have this quality now, these young ones, because they were cooperative in past incarnations. You can see those who lack this quality in meetings. They are troublemakers. I was in a meeting once where someone kept insisting on the most absurd things. We laughed and said, "Can't you see that this is absurd?" "No," he said, "if it is not taken seriously, I will go." He left the meeting. See, this is not cooperation. I remember when I was a kid in playing in the violin. I played the violin forever, it seemed like. And we were in a young orchestra, an orchestra made of young people. And there was this one kid, I just loved him. He was so ornery and cantankerous, but I just loved him for some reason. Anyway, he played hoedown music with his violin. So where the rest of us were all working really hard to play our classical, you know, version of whatever, he was always in the back of the orchestra playing some hoedown piece of music, driving the conductor absolutely crazy. So I wasn't the conductor, I just had a good time with him, even though it was a bit annoying sometimes. The ego was not cooperating. When a person has pride, they cannot cooperate. Pride is when a person feels that they are superior. There are so many stupid things that we have done and continue to do. How can we feel superior? A prideful person sees only themselves, not their past or future vision. It is only through humility that we can cooperate. It is interesting to observe those with humility interacting with those who have a superiority complex or attitude. The one of humility will go very quiet and sometimes feel lesser than who they truly are. Why is this? Because the one with pride has a pseudo confidence that speaks like a peacock. And the one with humility will go within themselves and ask questions. In the end, the one of humility will recognize, even if it takes a few days, weeks, or months, that the boasting one is blanketing his or her ignorance and laziness. Laziness fails to keep up with today's needs. Failing to keep up with today's needs means future failure. The one of humility will bring balance back to their soul life and move forward with increasing courage and cooperation to see the need. You cannot cooperate with lazy people. People acting in stupidity cannot cooperate. I see this happen so frequently. For example, you have a simple request and say, "Put the chair here." But your coworker puts it somewhere else and causes confusion and disorder. The person does just the opposite of what they were asked to do. Leaders must be cautious about putting such people on a committee, for they will create chaos and waste the time of the other committee members. They just cannot see the greater purpose. One of my favorite sayings is, they can't see the forest for the trees. Arrogant people do not cooperate with the greater need. I remember a coworker bought my spiritual teacher a computer. The teacher had mentioned to the group that the office needed another computer and what kind was needed. He told them exactly what the office needed. So my coworker bought a computer and presented it to him with a very big smile. But the computer was exactly the opposite of what he needed. My teacher, the leader of the group, gave it back to her and said, "Your ego bought this. We cannot use it. Take it back." She was so angry. Her arrogant intentions were personality oriented. She gave the teacher a more expensive computer than what he needed, and the wrong kind to boot. Any group or any committee is successful when the people in the committee or group keep their self-interest out of the work and focus on the interest of the group as a whole. People can fit together and work together only if they renounce their self-interest for the good of the whole, the good of the group, and for the purpose of the group. Sometimes in groups and in the human personality, there are secrets, but here is our hope. Christ referred to this in a parable when he said, "There is a field. A thief, an enemy came and put tares in it. Tares is a poisonous gas. They asked, 'What shall we do? Shall we pull the tares out?' 'No, no, it will destroy the roots. Let them both grow. When they grow, we will harvest and separate them.'" This parable contains profound psychological information, which we oftentimes miss. Within every person, tares and the wheat grow together. As a person betters themselves, their dark side increases. What can we do with it? If the person is not sincere with themselves, they will not be able to see that dark side. This is why some disciples and aspirants become holier than thou. If they continue studying, the humility will begin. At the same time, their tares are also increasing. As a human being becomes more soul and unfolds his heart lotus, they become more sensitive to the call of cooperation. So let me close with this. Cooperation is a united effort toward survival and perfection and enlightenment, group enlightenment. Cooperation eliminates fear, worry, and irritation and paves the way to happiness. An observer saw something very beautiful the other day. A car was stopped in the road and an old lady was in it. She got out and did not know what to do. Suddenly, three healthy, really good-looking boys stopped their car and came to the lady and said, "What can we do to help you?" They were so beautiful. The observer thought that they must have been surfers because they were tanned and had muscles and so forth. She said, "Well, the car stopped." They said, "If we push it, maybe it will work. So you get in and we will push it." They pushed it half a mile and it started again. They were so proud. The lady turned to them. "This is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen," she said. "Thank you, my children." And they said, "Bye." They didn't even care about the thank you. It was so beautiful. It came from their heart. So, people like that come from beautiful homes where cooperation is an underlying current. Something touched them, or they had a vision to help that lady. So I hope this gives you, today's talk gives you a whole different approach to the value of cooperation. And see if you can't go back and listen to this talk two or three times. It'll be up on our YouTube account, which you can access through our website. And make some notes, just some key ideas that you take out of the lecture, and begin to practice and see if it makes a difference in your life.